This week's episode of the Angry Geeks. I am Lewis.
Jamie.
I had to think about that for a second. I am Emily.
Why in the world did you have to think about your name?
I'm talking to Jamie because
I thought maybe the trivia from last week was still getting you, and Donald comes in the house.
That didn't take long, did it? Jab.
No, you did rather well.
No, I did not.
Yes.
Hi, Aviva.
How are you?
Hi to Aviva now.
Anyway, we got a great show tonight. We got Jason Douglas back there. Jason is a reoccurring guest on the show. He is a nominated writer and creator. And he's also a cancer survivor, so I want to talk about that. And he has a fantastic book out there. It's called Parallel. It is a graphic novel from Source Point Press, and it's in second print. And this is an indie book that went in the second print, and that's like unprecedented sometimes. So, and plus, I want to talk Nero or Dex.
Nero.
And, J-Bo McNeil's jumping in, and he says, what's that? Hey, guys?
Hey, guy and gal.
Oh. And I want to talk about the Last of Us TV show. I'm not sure. I know Jason is a gamer. He does play. Jamie, you are a gamer, but you don't have a PS system. I watched the first episode last night. I'll try not to give any spoilers in it. It was fantastic, and I know it's going to be a hit, because how do we rate things? If Rose likes it, everyone's going to like it. If Jamie cries, everyone's going to like it. But Rose absolutely liked it. She stayed up after 10 to watch the whole episode. So I know it's going to be a hit, and she's going to like it. And Aviva says, watch out. What, Jamie?
I won't let him spoil it. She says you're terrible about spoilers.
All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Anyway, without further ado, let's get Jason out here so we can get the show on the road. Jason, what's going on, my friend? It's been a while since you've been here.
It has been quite a while, but it is an absolute honor and pleasure to be back.
Well, thank you. Is it an honor because of me? Is it an honor because of the girls?
Let's be diplomatic. And we know the answer is it's an honor because of them. But let's be diplomatic. It's an honor collectively because as a team, the three of you are unbeatable.
Oh, well, thank you. We all appreciate that. Parallel, going into a second printing to this, that's unprecedented for an indie book, is it not?
I mean, it's certainly rarer than not, and not only a second printing, but an expanded edition, a special edition. It was motivated basically, you know, it was SourcePoint's idea because of the kind of atypical story on how that first print sold out, and then the two Ringo nominations that follow that. And they decided, like, it warranted that. And then I got to go and kind of curate those 50 bonus pages, which was a lot of fun because, like, you and I have talked before about how, especially in indie comics, bang for your buck is really, really important because your dollar goes so far in the world of indie comics. So, you know what? I have bought trades. I have bought expanded editions where, let's be honest, some of that extra stuff is there to fluff out the page count. And that's not something I'm interested in. So, like, you know, I wrote an afterword that kind of goes through that creative process and the kind of the journey of the book. And we've got, you know, a wicked cover gallery collecting all those amazing variant covers that came with that first print run of the book, annotated script pages and annotated concept art. And then my very favorite part is the 10-page brand new story at the back that kind of dives back in the world of Parallel. And you get to kind of enrich the story and go, I don't know if I'm coining a phrase when I say this, but I'm calling it a between the panels story. And if like you go back to like Marvel Comics, so like the 80s and the 90s, and you had those editor notes where it's like literally between panel and 7-8 of this Fantastic Four comic, like the Infinity War happened. You're like the dude's expressions didn't even change, but somehow that major event. And so I'm like diving back between this scene and that scene in the original story and expanding that out a little bit. And there's a little more character depth and you get to spend some time with these characters that hopefully you grew to love the first time you read it through. And I'm really excited about that too.
All right. For the new listeners and the new viewers that we have,
right,
we are on more public access stations now. So we're in different areas. For those people who have not seen the first three times that you were on,
yeah,
background about the book and the story, where it all came from and how it happened, and how you walked into Source Point Press's office and said, "This is my story."
Yeah. Let's
dive into that.
So Parallel's an OGN. It's a dark sci-fi twisted tale. Some people have said kind of in the vein of an episode of Black Mirror. And it kind of begs the question of you, the reader, what price would you pay for a second chance at all the dreams you thought you left behind forever? And Landon, our protagonist, you know, pushing 30, having what the kids are calling the quarter-life crisis. When I'm experiencing the exponential dread of time passing as Landon does in the story, it's a little closer to a midlife crisis, but that's neither here nor there. And it's a kind of that universal theme that a lot of people go through where you defer your dreams and time passes by and you think you have all the time in the world. And he set aside his dreams of music and we set aside our dreams of whatever to make ends meet the next day. And suddenly 5 years, 10 years, in my case, a couple of decades go by and you're like, it might be too late. And for a lot of us, that kind of dread manifests in, you know, anxiety or depression or however it manifests for anybody. For Landon, it shows up in the form of a parallel version of himself reaching out from the other side, offering that chance that he thought was gone. Unfortunately for Landon, it's probably not in his best interest mentally and physically, the cost of taking that second chance. So it gets pretty dark and twisted in the second half. And this is like a story that was kind of rattling around in my brain for a while. Obviously the experience of you know, having a dream of creating comics has been with me since I was 12. And, you know, like literally decades go by and it wasn't enough to motivate me. The idea of the, you know, the very sci-fi wrapping paper of being a comic book nerd and having that kind of packaging around deeper themes, that even existed of a different version of you reaching out and making contact. That even existed for a couple of years. And it wasn't until I had this conversation with a former student of mine who was literally in that age bracket and going through that exact same thing where her dream of opening at post-college of opening a dance studio in Chicago, suddenly 10 years went by and it was probably too late and it just clicked. And I was like, I need to sit down and write this. So I sat down one summer and wrote the first half very much in a bubble without, you know, there's no publisher attached. There's no artist, there's no expectation other than I'm going to try this thing that I thought would be, I don't want to say easy, but like, it was like, I'm just going to do this. That blissful ignorance, that irrational confidence of doing something for the first time before you know how hard it's going to be. And I just did it. And at the halfway point, I, again, without the knowledge of how comics are made in the 21st century, right? I'm kind of still channeling that 12-year-old me in like the early 90s. I printed out copies of the script and put it in the file folder manila envelopes in my, I'm a public school teacher for the last, you know, more than two decades. I put it in those folders and took these adorable little paper clips from my desk and put it all together with a cover letter. And I went to Motor City Comic Con and I was like, I'm just going to go up to humans and publishers and just say, here, because I had no idea that's not how you do it. And literally the first booth I ran, walked up to, and literally the first person I interacted with was Source Point Press, beautiful booth at the con, and Travis McIntyre, the at that time editor-in-chief and one of the co-founders and president. I just walked up to him and said, here you go, and just started pitching him like this idea, and was not picking up on any of the body language of, what are you doing, weirdo? You know, like, stop talking. And I didn't. I just kept on going. And eventually, like, the energy, the whatever, maybe a little bit of the story, kind of won him over. And he like, stopped me and was like, listen, I don't know if you're, like, trolling me. I don't know what this is. It's like you're trying to pitch me a comic and you think it's 1970. It's not. I'm like, you know, I'm just like, and he said, but I tell you what, like, he literally said, I like the cut of your jib. Like, he's a sailor from 150 years ago. And he says, I'm going to read this, come back tomorrow, and we'll talk. And I came back, and literally, in the most atypical way of how indie comics are made these days, because it's not this way, he's like, we're in business. Go write me a second half. You clearly don't know what you're doing or how to do any of this. I will find you the artist. I will find you the editor, and we're going to put this out in the world. And it was just like, I feel very lucky about it, but on the same hand, like, a lot of, you know, the people who have more experience in the industry than I do say, be very careful how you use that word luck, because it can sometimes sell short your own personal hard work and the hard work of all the people who make a project happen. And then, you know, we go through a couple year process of putting this thing together, and then it releases into the pandemic at the beginning and completely flops. I mean, just tanks. You know, part of it is first time author, right? No name recognition. Part of it is small press. Part of it is a little tiny thing in the back of previews, right? S is not at the beginning of the book. And part of it was the pandemic, and part of it was copies not arriving on time. And because of that same blissful ignorance, because of that same irrational confidence of not knowing that what you're supposed to do next is either give up and say, I followed my dream, on to the next thing, or literally, like, you know, you start your next project or whatever it is. I went forward and went on your show three times and booked 75 total interviews over 18 months. And slowly word started to spread about this book, and it sold a copy here and three there. And the reputation started to spread. And by the end, I was at Baltimore. The book had sold out. I'd done a couple of cons. I'd done all these shows. The book had sold out. I was at Baltimore for the Ringo Awards. And I'm doing my first panel with Travis, and he, like, gives me this information that by the end of this process, SourcePoint was reaching out to stores and buying back copies to fulfill the online demand. And it was like, again, not how this works at all. And so that, I think, just that weird trajectory of this isn't how it goes, and it resonating with enough people is what's kind of warranting the expanded edition, the special edition that's in previews right now.
So you're actually living your own creation.
In a lot of ways, yeah. I'm not him. He's not me. My wife wants me to tell you that she is definitely not Claire, for those of you who've read the book. one of my favorite bits of feedback are when people relate to it, because I personally think that existential dread of time passing and dreams deferred is a pretty universal thing that we all go through some version of at some point in our life. But the irony is, it's a very isolating feeling at the same time. You know what I mean? Like, when you're going through your thing, you feel so alone in that. And yet the stranger walking next to you, the family that lives in your house, the friend that's just a call or a text away, has their own version of it, and it's always better to reach out and talk to them. So, like, when people tell me, like, hey, I connected to this and I'm thinking about it differently, that meant the world to me.
That's awesome. Why don't you tell us what this award is, what you were?
Wow. Well, yeah. So in that process, like, you've got, putting an indie book out in the world, putting probably any comic out in the world, there's a roller coaster of highs and lows, right? Like the massive high of that first page of art comes in, that low of this is not the way I want this to go. It flops on release, as I told you, up and down, up and down. And a lot of them, you can, while it's not an expectation, especially when this is like the first time you're fulfilling this lifelong dream of yours, it is something you can foresee. Like if you told me at the beginning of the process, like, could you imagine a day where a letter of Justin Birch's caliber, like letters your words and puts them in a word balloon, like as amazing as that was, like I could foresee that, you know, like I could close my eyes and I could dream that. The biggest thing that happened that there was nothing, there was no way you could have had me predict was the day I got the call that it had been nominated for 2 Ringo Awards, you know, a national high level industry-wide award for best writer and best single issue or story. And that just blew me out of the water. And I got to go to Baltimore, and the book was already sold out. So we then sold out a very limited print run of a Con exclusive cover. And I got to go to the award show and give a speech and hand out some awards, very gracefully lose both my awards to the dude who writes Batman. I was very good. and then at the after party, like rub elbows with like all of these heroes of mine from like the last 20 years in the industry and not let my imposter syndrome overwhelm me too much as I'm like standing at the bar hearing literal war stories from Garth Ennis, you know what I mean? And it's just like absolutely mind-blowing. I joke about this, but it's not really a joke. The fact that I had to fly to Baltimore allowed me to protect myself against my own instinct, which would have been to take a long box worth of crap for all of my heroes to sign, which would have not been a good move when you're supposed to be their peer. So weight limits on luggage protected me against embarrassing myself further than I probably already did that night.
Oh, I got no problems in embarrassing myself. Jamie will tell you about that. We're going to take 30 seconds and we'll be right back. Hey, we want to thank Cares a Lot Confections for the first 15 minutes of our show today. Jamie, Valentine's Day is just coming up, and those cupcakes feel real. Yeah, look,
Dex feels the same way I do about it.
Yeah. Now, what about you, Em? Cupcakes or cake for Valentine's Day? What do you prefer?
I guess cupcakes, because like you can take like the proper value that you want. Like you could just have one and then it's like, I want more. I could get it in like the proper serving, I guess. Whereas cake, it's like, if I eat that whole thing, that's not good, because I will.
Steven, get on it. She wants cupcakes.
He's already taking me to Vegas.
Jamie, what would you like? A cupcake, a pie?
I prefer cupcakes over cake, but pie... love pie.
Ooh.
Ian, Jamie wants cupcake, got wants pie. Better call Carolyn right away.
She just said she wants pie.
I have to live through you two. All right.
Pie cupcakes.
Pie cup. I bet you Carolyn could do that. Carolyn is so talented.
Pies.
Yes. If Carolyn is so.
Like Mrs. Lawrence, little meat pies.
Yeah.
Only you would get Sweeney Todd can you see Carolyn cosplaying as Sweeney Todd baking? That's some good marketing right there. And Carolyn, let's get that done. Jason, for Valentine's Day, what would you prefer?
Ooh,
cake, pie, cookies?
Unfortunately, sweets are a thing of the past for me, but in my household, it's pretty much a battle between the cupcake and the cake. Like, it depends on who's in charge that night. It depends on who gets the upper hand, whether it's going to be one or the other. But there are big fans of both in my house.
Oh, there you go. So come make sure you guys contact Carolyn at Cares a Lot Confections today and get your order in now for Valentine's Day. Jason, with the book coming out, I ask you this all the time. What's next? What are you working on next?
So the next big project is my very first Kickstarter in May for my next project, Jane American, which is kind of interesting in two ways. Number one, I'm back to square one, right? Like, because the creation of Parallel and the publishing of Parallel and even special edition was so atypical. I don't have the experience making a comic in the way that the 21st century is you're supposed to, right? Which is crowdfunded. And so I'm in the middle of that process right now. I'm very excited about that book. It's also kind of interesting because that was already supposed to have happened. The Kickstarter was supposed to run in August. And it was supposed to be reviewers, you know, it was going to be, you know, Parallel sells out, it's an award show, we do the next project, get that out in the world, and then special edition kind of comes on the tail of that. So I was supposed to run that in August, and instead, I went in for a routine colonoscopy and came out with colon cancer. So I spent my August having surgery and doing recovery, and that was pretty much all fall. It didn't mean that I wasn't working my butt off behind the scenes. I was. I mean, we're gonna all but ready for the Kickstarter in May, and obviously, you know, special editions in previews right now and able to order from like 50 different places. But like, you know, life will throw you a curveball. And that doesn't mean that you don't keep going. It doesn't mean that you don't keep fighting, and it doesn't mean that you don't keep creating, right? You don't let that shut down the thing that you want to do, and especially when other people are involved, they may look at you and say, "Hey, take it easy, do whatever." Not really in my nature, you know what I mean? So I had to miss the beginning of the school year, literally the first time that I wasn't there on the first day of school for my kids for 23 years. And I spent the entire 2 weeks before surgery not doing what everybody told me to do, which was like relax, mentally prepare, X, Y, and Z. I literally made a video for every single lesson I missed. So when I walked in there the first day, it was my first day with them, but they saw my big fat face on the giant screen of the Promethean board every single day, all day. They knew me well when I walked in just 3 weeks late.
All right, we're going to pull up the code right now. And Jason, you're going to explain to us exactly what this code is. Ladies, do you have any questions for Jason concerning the book?
What? Oh, you put it on the comments.
Yeah.
I was so confused about what was happening. I was like, what?
Yeah, I was wondering am I supposed to talk here? Special edition is in previews right now. Oh, you want to talk about like the it blows you away in honor kind of thing? Look at this. Full page.
Easy killer, easy.
Oh my god,
a full page trip. There's that, energy there of excitement.
That,
I love
it. He's so excited. So walk into your LCS and you go old school. If you're like, you say Jason Douglas, you say Sourcepoint Press, you say Parallel Special Edition, that'll get you there. But the order code is FEB for February 23, 1872, right? You can be a little more technically savvy and go to previewsworld.com and you can order it there and they'll send it to your LCS. You can get it through Amazon. You can get it through Barnes & Noble. You can get it through Simon & Schuster. There's even what's the other distributor?
Comixology.
Oh, Comixology. What's the other distributor these days? Why am I forgetting that? Why am I blanking on it? It's who DC does.
Diamond?
It's who DC goes through.
I don't know.
Okay. Basically, it's a wonderful fail on my part. Not being it's never been easier to order an indie comic like this. So doesn't really matter how you do it. If you do it, you just need to understand it supports small business. It supports small publishers. It supports an indie creator. Like your dollar, I love the big two. I grew up on the big two. The big two still gets a portion of my comics dollars these days. But like your dollar goes so far in indie because it literally puts food on table, clothes on backs, keeps a small family business together, and allows creators that are kind of below that margin to keep on putting stories out there in the world.
Did you guys have another celebration when the special edition came out? And share the first celebration with the ladies, please.
So that's an exaggeration, only because just like with most people who have any kind of public footprint, whether a teeny tiny one like me, right? Like maybe there's like four people in the world who know who I am outside of the classroom. Or you're like the world's biggest star in whatever medium. At home, nobody cares. So like to even say that there was a celebration the first time, which was really like, hey, good job. And then I did some laundry and some dishes. This time, tone that down. Let's not even go that wild. Okay. Like maybe somebody gave me a head nod. I don't even think we had a dinner. And then I went and did some laundry and some dishes. So there you go. There's my celebratory thing.
Wild.
Yeah. Well, I know, really, like living on the edge. Welcome to middle age.
Right. I mean, that's how I party. So I don't right. know.
But the really first,
nice.
The first celebration when the book first was published, what did you do?
I'm blanking. What are we talking about here? Did I do something fun?
I think you did. You guys had like a pizza or something like that.
Oh, see, there
you
go. This is how we right. Really over the top memorable. Right?
Yeah, I think if I'm going back to our first conversation, I asked, oh my God, you were so excited. You had so much energy like you have tonight. I'm like, how did you guys celebrate? He goes, we had pizza.
And I probably went and did some laundry and some dishes. You're right. Yeah, so
got it all done.
So any weekend night, I guess, just happened to be it was the day something got published. Yeah. Lifelong dream came true, and pizza.
It's usually we just say it's not a party unless there's pizza rolls, and that's how I know the difference from a party night and a regular night.
Yes. So. Put it in a roll. I love it.
Yeah.
Well, we have Hello. Jamie. Would you like to say hi?
Yes, John Bill Clinton Smith says hi from Manchester, England.
Oh, wow.
Hello.
Well, hello.
I'm actually half hour away from Manchester, New Hampshire. So
is the book available in England, so we can tell John Bill Clinton Smith if it's available in England?
Absolutely. Yep. Internationally. The Diamond Order Code works just as well in England and through your comic shops there and obviously Amazon as well. So, yep, 100%.
All right. So that is the code right there. Code Feb231872. And Sophia is back. And Sophia right there is a TikTok superstar. She says, hello, everyone.
Yeah.
One of the queen of queens.
What's that?
She's also a queen of the quins.
Queen of the quins. Yeah. So we're going to take 30 seconds for another sponsor. And we're going to be right back with Jason Douglas. H Square Collectibles. 39 Wedgewood Drive, Suite 232, inside the Slater Mill Mall. Pokemon every Saturday mornings. Become a Pokemon Blaster. Magic Gathering every Friday night. Comics, toys, vinyls. Diecast and more. Find your inner hero at CH Square Collectibles. Proud sponsor of the Angry Geeks Show. And on behalf of the Anchor Geeks, I want to express our condolences to Chris Hebert on the passing of his mom this past week. So Chris, on behalf of the ladies and I, we express our condolences to you. So kind of sorry for bringing that down on the downer, but we're sorry to hear that. Jason, any signings of the book when the book comes out?
Yeah, so I've started to book those. I've got a free comic book day gig booked in Plymouth, Michigan at a big old shop, and I'll either be sitting next to Mark Brooks or Tom King. That hasn't been decided yet. So inferiority complex kick in again on another level as I'm sitting at some superstar. I've got like two more lined up, but the dates aren't done. And then I'm going to hopefully hit as many conventions as SourcePoint Press will allow me to tag along with over that spring and summer for sure.
And okay, I was just thrown off by a comment that, yeah.
That's a good one.
That's a heck of a comment.
He says, as a bald, unfollicled male, I can't get a chick in this godforsaken town. My bald spot gets sunburned, but I've bought a hat.
It's a very solid health policy there.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, let's.
I love it.
I do too.
All right. Thank you, John Bill Clinton Smith.
Please be a regular.
Yes, I am. I'm done. I got nothing.
Not everyone makes Lewis speechless. So
no, not everyone.
What I'm saying.
I'm gonna give the floor to you. I'm gonna give the floor to you two because I've been talking all night long. So have the floor, ladies.
That's normal. Please. You love the attention.
No,
I'm kind of useless knowledge. You're welcome, he says.
Wow. And well, we can also give the floor to our audience members and let them answer. Have any questions for Jason to answer as well? So if you do have a question for Jason, let him know right now. Jason, with the book, where do you see the book going from here? I mean, we did talk before about Netflix. We did talk about Amazon. Would you like to see it animated or live action if it were to go?
Guys, I'm not going to say no to anything. What are you talking about? Like, yeah, okay, yeah, yes. I'm going to answer your question that has more than one choice. Yes. Yes, I would. All of the above. Any of the above. I mean, that's of course I would never say no to that. But like, talk about having, you know, that blissful ignorance of how things are done. That is so far above my pay grade at this point on understanding how you would even get that made. Like, I'm not going to sit here and say I've got blah, blah, blah going, or I've got these thoughts or these dreams of it, because I have no idea. Wonderful. Yes, please. So maybe we're like speaking it into existence right here. And some high power executives that many didn't, you know what? The bidding war starts tomorrow on the way. That we're saying that here right now. Let's make that happen, okay?
All right. Well, we do happen to know a very talented singer, and we happen to know an actress now.
I'm like, what are you talking about?
Well, Emily is the singer.
I get it now.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Emily the singer. You were in music videos. So, yeah, Emily is also a stage actress. So, I got two people for you right here.
Fantastic. I love it.
So, sign the contracts. Let's get it moving. Let's get it moving.
Perfect.
What? Let's do this?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Well, he's looking at me like, what did you just say?
The next book, is it going to be, I know we have a Kickstarter coming up.
Yeah.
But is SourcePoint Press going to be publishing it?
Yeah, that is the plan. So it's like, I mean, it's the crowdfunded piece, right? I mean, the Kickstarter will exist, the exclusive cover. I've got a very big named artist lined up for the exclusive cover for the Kickstarter that I am not able to reveal quite this second, but it's coming. And then that'll go out to backers, and then it'll hopefully be in previews from SourcePoint as a 32-page one-shot, which is kind of the beginning of the story of Jane American. And then the next step after that is about 120-page OGN that'll come out that tells her whole story. So, that's like the next big thing and the next big leap and the next big scary thing that I don't know how to do. But I'm going to go ahead and with that wonderful kind of irrational confidence and give it a shot.
Now, will you be working with the same artist or you have a different?
So, no, there's a new artist on this, a young up and coming female artist from Ohio that I'm really excited. In fact, earlier today, she was showing me a couple of the pages from the five pages that'll be, kind of available as a teaser on the Kickstarter. And there was a panel that I truly believe is the best thing I've ever seen her draw. And there's all these really kind of emotional, impactful moments in those first 32 pages of the Jane American story. And she drew the heck out of this one panel. And because Jane American means so much to me, it's very much inspired by my late grandmother and some of the things that she went through in the era that it takes place, which is just post-war 1946. And it's very much dedicated to all the young people who have come through my classroom the last couple of decades, young ladies and non-binary humans who have struggled with identity and self-worth even in the 21st century. So you extrapolate that back to 1946, where those societal strictures are even tighter on people. And this one panel that I looked at today, like I was having a hard time, like not getting a little weepy and emotional just because of the impact of that panel and what it says about these two characters who really care for each other so much, a mother and a daughter who are kind of about to have their lives turned upside down. And it just blew me away. And I'll tell you what, it's one of the most magical things. And I know it's kind of a cliche for like a writer of a comic book to say this, but like there is nothing more magical than when you have this idea in your head that you see as being perfect in your head, and then an artist with a talent that you don't possess does it so much better than you could even imagine it. It just makes it all worth it. It's amazing. And I got that today. And so that just made me so happy.
That's awesome. Thank you, John. We appreciate that.
He wants them to sing an Oasis song, I think.
Oh.
I think that's
what Jason, would you mind if M belts out a tune?
Go for it.
All right.
I don't think
she
wants to.
M, do you want some background music? We can give
She's
you some
like
background.
Only karaoke. That's the only... Look at her. That's not an Oasis song.
What are you doing to me? And what would I know from Oasis?
Like 70s porno music.
Okay, I wouldn't know that.
Oops, all right.
Thankfully, I wouldn't know that.
Let's do this one.
I swear to God, I will leave.
Okay, well, sorry there, Mr. Clinton. No song from M. Not tonight. Maybe next week. Maybe next week. Anyway, Jason, you are a gamer. Have you ever played The Last of Us?
My gaming status is greatly exaggerated. There was a time before gamer was even a term where you would consider me that, but like,
so I'm going to take that as a no.
You could not call me that, and definitely no, I have not played the game.
And John says, if you were my superhero, Jason, you would be the Silver Surfer.
I'm going to take that. That could be the worst insult that I'm not picking up on. I'm totally taking that as a compliment. That's cool.
That's something I would say, too. It's like, I'm going to take it as a compliment, but I have no idea.
I mean, like, silver, naked, bald, flying through the cosmos. Okay, fine. the herald of like the destruction of worlds. I think I like maybe throwing shade at me, but like Silver Surfer's cool. I'm all right with that. Yeah.
I mean, after all, he said he was bald too. So
I mean, that's true. Okay.
That would.
I'm the Silver Surfer. I'm in. Let's go.
That'll be your.
Oh boy, you've getting some.
I mean, that's gonna be. Here you go. That's me. Look at me. Look at my abs. I look great. I look really good.
What are the chances of hearing the Geek Lair? What are the chances of here in the Geek Lair where all I have to do is like reach and I can pull out whatever toy you want?
Yeah. What are the chances? 100%. Because you have everything.
What was that?
I said you have everything in that room.
Yeah, all I got to do is like reach or just maybe even walk across the room and it will be there. Anyway, last night, The Last of Us debuted on HBO Max. Last of Us, as we know, is based on a PlayStation Sony property. The video game came out, I think, 2010, if I remember right. Jamie, I really wish you played this game. You would absolutely loved it.
Well, if somebody wants to gift me a PlayStation.
I got a PlayStation 4, but not a PlayStation 5 I can give you, but I got a PlayStation 4 I can give you, my sister.
I've been teetering on buying one. We'll see.
I highly recommend it. And we can actually play that together instead of the Xbox One or the...
I have a Series X.
Yeah, I have the same thing. But we're still waiting. Speaking of the Series X, we're waiting for the Suicide Squad to come out because we have plans to play that and record it. But we don't. It's not out yet. The Last of Us. The show is definitely Angry Geeks approved. I'm going to say 5 out of 5 Angry Geeks shields.
I've been seeing great things, but you know me. I'm in Naruto land still. So
I know. I know you are. Rose actually.
You've been bugging me to see it, so you know I'll end up doing it eventually.
Yeah.
Now I have Rose to supposedly if Angry Geeks.
If I get sick of Naruto, which hasn't happened yet.
No, I cannot see that happening.
I'm in a really good part. Sasuke is and Naruto are about to again. I just
Okay. Yeah. Well,
I was a little less threatening than Jamie. I'm just like, she's like, I am not the woman who would like, kickbox Darth Vader. Let's just face it.
Now, Jamie, you do have HBO Max. I know you do.
Yeah.
You just watch it. You don't have to play the video game to watch the show.
Play a video game.
What's that?
I can't play it.
I know. So what I'm saying is you don't have to you didn't have to play the video game
to watch the
show.
You don't have to play the game to watch the show. Yeah. No, I get
correct.
That. Yeah, that's the next thing on the what everybody's posting.
So. Yeah, you can sit down, watch the show. Jason, if you have HBO Max, I'm suggesting to you right now as a writer, sit down, watch the first episode of The Last of Us. Be ready. I knew what was going to happen. Rose knew what would happen, even though she does not play the game. She watched me play the games. Katie, my daughter, she doesn't remember me playing the games, but she was taken back by what happens in the very beginning of the show, and she kind of got choked up about it. Huh. So be prepared. If you don't know what's going to happen, it's pretty sad.
Lewis, can I ask you a question about the show?
You want to ask me or ask me?
I'd like to ask you spoiler-free a question about the show.
Sure.
So, like, how does it work in your opinion, you know, having somebody who watched the first episode and played games, like, how does it work as an adaptation, right? Because that can be very hidden.
Beautifully. It works beautifully, better than any of the Resident Evils.
Okay.
Better than Tomb Raider. This is the best video game adaptation of all time.
Wow.
I mean, they even took shots from the game. It really helped that the creator of the game wrote and co-directed some of the series. So Sophia comes up. Jamie, why don't you read that one really quick?
Sophia said, I own the first game but haven't played it yet, but watched the first episode last night. It's so good.
Yeah, and they, as as the episode was going on, I told Rose, oh my God, this is the part in the game where this happens. Sure enough, it exactly happened.
So you were like spoiling it for her?
No. Rose, she'll sit down and watch me play. So she goes, oh, I remember that part and what you had to do. And they do change things here and there. Like, wait, that's not exactly how it happened in the game or how the story went. But they kind of filled the gaps. They kind of, you know, they filled in little gaps. Oh, so that's how that probably played out. And this is how this happened. And this is how it's a beautiful story. It's just fantastic. Just go ahead and watch it. I guarantee it. You'll absolutely love it. From what I am understanding, though, the episodes will range from 90 minutes, 81 minutes, 45 minutes. They're very sporadic in their length.
Weird.
Yeah, it's very, very weird. So, but it's Angry Geeks approved. And, question of the week. This week's question of the week is brought to you by Alternate Universe LLC, New Haven and Milford. Are you ladies ready? Jason,
I'm ready.
Since you are the guest, you get to answer the question of the week first. Emily, I'm going to have you read the question.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. You get to read the question, Em. I know.
I'm so excited, yeah. Okay. Whoops, the live thing. What are the first two words my live thing's blocking? I'm on my phone today.
You discover.
Oh.
You discover a beautiful island upon which you may build your own society. You make the rules. What is the first rule you put into place?
Repeat it one more time.
You discover a beautiful island upon which you may build your own society. You make the rules. What is the first rule you put into place?
So this is not you just on an island. This is, we are building society here. This is like a multiple person kind of thing, and you're in charge, huh?
Yep, you discover it.
First rule. Oh my God, this is going to sound so ridiculous and selfish. Leave me alone. Give me my space. Let me give me some space. I'm going to carve out a little space for me. The proverbial like nerd cave on this beautiful island, and nobody is allowed to go in it but me. That's my first rule.
All right. Jamie, you go.
No
next.
Complaining.
And no, all right. And what does Sophia say?
Sophia says, rule number one, no butt heads allowed. Mark would say clothing optional. I would say clothing required.
They're on separate ends of the island.
I
there.
Love you too.
Em.
I am your god. I am the only ruler you listen to. Then I get all the rings.
Wow. All right, so you're going to be Roman Reigns there. Is that, acknowledge me, okay? I would...
You compared me to Roman Reigns just now.
Yeah, I did. What would my...
Don't open your toys. That would be your rule.
That's... That, well, that is my rule in the lair. Don't touch anything. Don't open my toys.
I'm just going to answer all your questions of the week for you because I already know all your answers.
I know you do. It's kind of unfair. You know
what
that well.
What are you going to do? It's got to be like the Newlywed Game. She's got to like write it on paper. It's like we got to reveal it.
Oh my God. She probably, yeah, she could.
Well, I would get you on that game. I don't know if you'd get me.
I don't know. You did the conjuring thing. You conjured me like that.
That's what I mean. We should play that game at a live event. Like
we could. Yeah, we could like definitely. Do. Yeah. If yes, no, for sure we could do that. But let me answer the question. The first rule. Ha ha. First rule. Jamie. is not always right.
Yes, I am.
And, and you shall not listen to Jamie or Rose. Listen to Lewis. That is the first rule.
And I am always right.
And that, no, that's my rule. That's the rule. My rule. Rose and Jamie are not always right. See, that's...
You're going to get a whooping tonight.
I know I am, because she's back for bringing Katie back to college, and I can hear her walking on the outside of the door. So, no, what is the first rule? The first rule is... What is the first rule? First rule... And Donald says...
Donald is a smart man. The first rule of the Angry Geeks, never upset the female geeks.
Yeah, that's yes, pretty much. That's very smart.
First rule, there you go. First rule, always send the packages out on time. I got nothing for this. First rule, Lewis, make the rules.
You copied me. You essentially copied me. I just worded it better because, you know, I'm more creative than you.
Okay. First rule, I don't have to follow anybody's rules.
How many first rules are you going to have?
I know. We have like...
I've come at seven.
Your island is boring. Seven first There's rules. Too many rules.
First rule, Jason can never be on the show again.
I doubt that.
I'm done. Pretty much.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah.
I promise.
Just don't complain.
I'm not complaining. I'm not. At all.
Already breaking Jamie's rule. You're kicked off Jamie's island.
Rule number two. Never what?
Never break rule one. You should have just followed his rule.
Whatever. Whatever.
Hey, congratulations. Somebody famous now hates you.
Yeah, but...
Is that me?
Guys, that was what? That was very rude. Wow.
Push that button.
I know. Now I'm going to get very yelled at.
This isn't funny at all.
No, it's not. And then look at Em's face, and Jamie's very mad at me. And get a ticket to Manchester. Wow.
I don't know who he's talking to, but I'll be in London in July.
What are you doing?
Anyway, Jason, please tell everyone where they can find you on the interwebs.
I'm assuming John Bill Clinton Smith is talking about me, and I'll be right over on my surfboard, buddy. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Taking like 2 seconds.
Who's coming for you?
First time I've been called Jal on a show. This is great.
Damon. Yeah, from now on, when you're on the show, we're just going to call you Doll.
100%. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah.
I'll go by Silver Surfer. I'll go by Doll. Whatever. I'm fine with it all.
Jamie.
What?
That was a perfect face, too.
Come here.
Jason,
I hope you're talking to one of your dogs.
Very easy to get. You hung up on being called Dow by a guy from England. he was talking about me, right? Come on.
I think.
Yeah.
Okay. I think he was. Yes, he was.
Okay. Go order a parallel special edition from your LCS. FEB 23 1872. We'll get that to you. You can do it through the Previews World website. You can do it through your LCS. You can do it through Amazon. You can do it through Barnes & Noble. really easy to get the book. And, you know, any support that you can give to indie comics is good support. It keeps things going. And I certainly appreciate it as well. It's a lifelong dream of mine to be on this side of the table and going to cons and meeting people and going on shows and talking to wonderful people from England who think you look like the Silver Surfer or whatever that was. And, and having a good laugh and spreading the word. And it's just, it's been a lot of fun and I just want to keep it going. So support in May and support right now, you know, keeps that dream alive for me. And I truly appreciate anybody who goes out and orders that book.
All right. If someone buys the graphic novel and they want to get it autographed and you're not available to come to this part of the country, you're not coming to a convention in this area, do you have a PO box that they can safely mail the book to you to get?
So no, I don't. If it's something like what I'll do usually, and what I did for the first pre-print run of the book is like, I'll have my copies of it and I'll put some up on my Instagram and I'll send you a copy of a signed copy if you can't do it that way. In fact, Instagram's like my only social media. Public school teacher, you could try to stay off of it. It's a good way to get fired when you say the wrong thing on too many platforms. So, Jay Douglas writes, you can't miss me. It used to be my old picture used to be the weirdest facial hair you've ever seen in the world. And now it's literally me doing a superhero pose in my hospital gown the day after surgery with an IV hooked up to me out walking the hallways. So you'll find me there and hit me up and ask a question and I'll talk your ear off and bring the same amount of energy on Instagram DMs as I did to this show that freaked you guys out there for a minute, I noticed. And then I'll send you a copy in a few months for sure.
Fantastic. Thank you, Jason, for being on. Or just hang out after we sign off, hang out for a couple seconds. Emily, tell us where we can find you, your cosplay, and all the wonderful items that you make.
Okay. Well, you can find me on my Instagram, Quinderella Cosplay. You can also find some singing videos on there. So, you know, because I couldn't felt out tonight. Sorry. you can find my trinkets, cosplay, singing, all the stuff on there. And I'm also on QuinderellaCosplay.com.
And Em, tell everyone the guests that you booked that we're going to be having in a couple weeks.
Ooh, I'm very excited for that one. We have Stevie Oakes. He's coming the 30th. And he is the human Peter Griffin. I'm sure if you've gone to, you know, Alternate Reality Entertainment cons, he's always there. He's super fun. He's just a super cool dude. So you've definitely got to tune in for that one. We're going to have fun.
Jamie, tell everyone where they can find you and then our websites.
You can find me on Facebook and Instagram at thatwonderwoman.one. My website is thatwonderwoman.com. Or you can find all of us at theangrygeekshow.com or on Facebook and Instagram at theangrygeeks.
And you can find me tomorrow night with ink-slinging Jack Purcell from DC and Marvel Comics on the Faces and Heels podcast. And you can find the entire Angry Geeks Network streaming on your Roku device, on your Amazon device, on Pod TV. That's right. We're on Pod TV on demand right now. You can see Jamie with the Naruto people. You can see me.
For what people?
Naruto.
No,
did I say it really? I really said that wrong? Oh my God. But you can see me with Stephen Amell. Yes. And you can. Jamie's also on there with My Hero Academia. And you can also see me on there with the Book of Boba Fett people.
Yeah, and you can also see me in my current Night Sensei cosplay with the Naruto cast. That was my favorite
part about it. Naruto, that's what I said. And then you can see all three of us on our latest episodes. Just go to Pod TV, go to your device, add the channel, Pod TV video on demand. Click on that. You can see all these other shows. Most of them are news shows, but that's okay because we're there to lighten the day and let our sparkle burn your eyes. But don't forget, tomorrow night you can find me with Inksling and Jack Purcell on the Faces and Heels podcast. You have been watching The Angry Geek Show on Pod TV. Visit our website today. And for guest bookings, email us at theangrygeekshow@gmail.com today.